Funny enough, today I'm here with Nasser. Today we're filming a special episode where we'll answer questions given by you. Nasser, can you start us off?
As you know, this is going to be the first episode of the second season of Beyond the Gavel. And as we have promised you before, sometimes we're going to bring guests, sometimes we're going to discuss our own ideas, our own thoughts, our own experiences. And this time, instead of focusing on our own choice of topic, we decided to give our community the chance to ask questions. And today we're going to answer some of them, and some of them we're going to leave to another episode. And we have a number of 10-9 questions, I believe. And we're going to try to go through some of them and answer them briefly. So hopefully we could help you improve your skill or answer your question briefly. Or sometimes we're going to try to even go in depth in some of the questions that we can go in deep in. Okay, so we do that? Okay, no.
Yeah, okay. I'll start off with the first question. The first question is, how do I know what's factual and what isn't? So, like, what is real and what's misinformation?
How do I know what's factual and what isn't? Now, this question is not detailed enough for us to know what the person who wrote it specifically meant. So we're going to try to expect that he possibly meant during debates, what is factual and what is not. Now, as you know, in debates, we have three main factors or three main pillars. There's facts, statistics, and also common sense. But when it comes to facts, maybe I'm not cultured enough about what the other person meant. So he brings a fact into an argument, and I'm not really sure about what he meant about it. So the question here, Abhinav, is how do I know if the fact is real or is not in the argument?
I mean, of course, first thing you should see, like, how it fits into the, like, the whole the scheme of things, like how logical it is. Like, I can just say that India is the biggest, India is the highest GDP in the world, because then that's not factual. That's, like, not factual. And, like, you know, first of all, like, having your own knowledge, like, from the beginning also helps. Because, like, like, in the end, we all do the same research for a topic, like, just from different perspectives. Like, so even though the perspective is different, the facts are the same. Yeah.
Exactly. If you were to, in some debate forums, you are not given the topic priorly, so it's kind of hard to tell. But if you were given the topic prior to the debate, I believe you should know if the fact is real or no. Other than that, you should, as my friend here has said, look into it. Is it fitting into the context? Is it realistic? Because some information can be just like, for example, as you said, maybe India has the biggest GDP in the world, or maybe India is going to be the best superpower in the world next year. Maybe that's the fact they're going to bring. So it's kind of hard to believe, even though it's not. But you get the point. Try to measure it. Try to maybe ask your friends if in the team. Is it factual? If you're unable to tell it by yourself, then ask the friends in the team.
Right.
Try to sometimes. And there's also another way to tell. If the person telling it is not so confident about the issue or this fact, you can almost tell if a person is lying or not. From my own point of view, I think you could tell that if the fact is real or not. It's... Yeah.
Yeah, because sometimes, like, the things they say are a bit exaggerated. Like, you can pick up from that, like, what he's saying is not factual. He is trying to say whatever he wants from their mannerisms and all that.
Yeah. Another thing you could do is ask questions here. Try to ask for evidence. If you have a chance to ask a question in a point of information, ask the opposite person or the person who came up with the information, what is the evidence behind this? How can you prove this? And whatsoever. I think by that you can prove if something is factual or not. And
all right.
I hope that answers the question.
Yeah, I think that's enough of a response for this question. Now the next question is, from when should I start preparing for a debate or an MUN? Like, one day before, 1 week before, or whatever?
When should I start preparing for a debate or an MUN? One day, 1 week. That depends on how important it is to you. If it's a final debate and you're given, like, enough time for it, then you should prepare. If you think you're skilled enough not to prepare ahead, then I think you can only, like, take 30 minutes to prepare. Sometimes it doesn't even take that long. And also, that depends on the team you're with. Like, sometimes I had to personally, like, be a part of a team that is not experienced enough. So you need to prepare ahead of time, like a week ahead or something, to give those people an idea of what a debate or an MUN is. What do you think?
I think it really depends, like, on the debate. Like, if you're going for the Harvard MUN, like, don't prepare one day before and then go there. But, like, for, like, school debates, like, it depends, like, on your knowledge of the topic beforehand. Like, if, like, you're good at history and the topics about World War III, World War II. I'm sure you don't need to prepare as much as some of the other people. But if it's like you're a commerce student, and then it's about the effect of using a certain chemical, like in a the effect of a chemical, like in a product. For that, I'm sure you'll do a bit more research. So I think it depends on you as a person, like your knowledge and what the topic is.
Really, your knowledge as a person matters, because if you know some facts about something, then I'm pretty sure it's going to be easy winning that debate, because you're confident that you know more than the other side who has the research. But you never know, like, who are your components sometimes, and on which level are you debating? Is it in the school level, or is it in the state level, or is it the nationwide level? Depend on how important it is, but also on how confident you are with that. But I think also depends on many other factors, like, for example, if you have never been into an MUN before, if you don't know the rules, if you're gonna have to ask people about the rules, I think it's very important to prepare ahead of time. That's for beginners, in my opinion.
Yeah. But this doesn't mean that even like expert, like senior level people, like can just prepare like 1 hour before and then go to the MUN, right? Even they have put in a bit effort, like at least a few days beforehand, so that they have a strong base, like a strong foundation with research.
So technically, there is no specific answer for this question.
Hmm.
No, it's one day, it's not a week. It depends on you. It depends on the topic. It depends on the circumstances and the context in there. Your team and all those things. That's the answer to your question.
Yeah, I think that sorts that. Now, the next question is, how do debates in MUN stack up to other extracurriculars?
How do debates and MUNs stack up to other extracurriculars? Would you go ahead?
I think debates and MUNs aren't just like a specific thing. Like when you play cricket, you're training your body. When you do chess, you're training your mind. But with MUN, like it's changed. It's like you're working on a wide variety of things. Working on your research skills, you're working on your confidence levels, you're working on your what's that word? Presentation skills and all that. So debates and MUNs, they aren't just like a single faceted thing. They have multiple facets from which you learn. So by doing more debates, you can help yourself in commerce. You can help yourself in sciences. So I think debates and MUNs, they stand out because they have so many applications, like so many things you can take away from them.
Exactly. And it's also a chance to network, don't you think?
Hmm. Yeah, definitely. Like the more debates you do, the more people you know, and the more people you know, the more help you can get.
Exactly. Like the more people I meet sometimes can help me join in a different kind of debate or join in a different kind of league, maybe forming a team one day or something. And besides that, it really can help you in your studies sometimes, learning about something and also in a lot of skills, because this public speaking skill you have mentioned is important in almost all fields. Like you can't say I'm good at public speaking, I'm going to join this major, for example. So even though there are majors in university or college that are better for debaters than any other people, for example, law is super good for debaters, but still, like the other fields, at some point, you're going to have to stand in front of a professor and give a presentation. That skill is very important. You're going to have to argue. If you're going, for example, for finance or going for law or political science or any of these majors that require negotiating with people, you need to have that skill. So that's something that could really help you with. Debates and MUNs can help you with in general.
Definitely. And like the people you meet in the MUNs are all not the same. Right? They're all different people. Like somebody might be doing like football on the side. Somebody might be a research student at some university. So from meeting all these people, you get exposure like on the real world, like how people are, and you know like how many different things there are that you can do.
So it's not like an activity that you will regret in the future and say that I have wasted amount of time. If you're not that good at debating and stuff, you will still get to see how people are like dealing with these things. As you say, different people from different places, different interests. So no, it's not something you will ever regret. And I think it can help you a lot with your other things on Definitely. Hand, like research stuff. It is a good experience.
Yeah.
And it will definitely stay with extracurriculars. Now we'll move on to a different question.
All right. How do debate, oh no, why did you guys decide to start the podcast?
Where do we start? Okay, this is a personal question. I don't know, to be honest. Like, we one day we just decided to start the podcast because we were trying to gather ideas for new things, because we were used to specific things. Like, we only did events, competitions,
and the daily skills debates.
And the daily debates. And we wanted to do something completely new. Someone came up with that. I think it was you, Abhinav, in the
first place. Yeah.
It was his idea in the first place. And then we was like, okay, we're going to try to do this. But we're not just going to keep it like directly or... Right, we're not only going to cover debates and stuff, we're going to try expand and speak about different things. And that was the idea. That's what differs it from the other things that we do.
Exactly. Yeah. We wanted to do this so that we can teach people about debates and MUNs, bring in people from all over the world, all over the place. Like, we had Mr. Abhishek Gupta, who is like the founder of High School Mom, one of the biggest extracurricular, one of the biggest career guidance counselors in Asia. And then we've had various people who've been to big MUNs like Harvard, Yale, and all that. So from this, like, we learn ourselves, and then we give you guys the opportunity to learn from these experts as well.
Exactly. Like, I don't think we have any other events where we actually, like, have people from outside the community joining us, aside from the master classes, which is something we haven't done in a long time. The master class, we kind of abandoned that. But through the podcast, we thought we could bring people from outside to speak. And we didn't want it to be something they prepare for or something. We wanted them to speak freely, share their experiences. And also, we chose the form of podcast rather than regular videos or any other form of publishing, because podcasts in general is a trend nowadays, isn't it?
And also very, very conversational. So, like, we can get to know the person as well and their skills.
Exactly. Some of those people we interviewed in the past are still with us, joining our competitions to this day. So we have introduced them to our community, even though we are the ones who invited them first to join us. But now they're part of the community. They join the competitions. They share their experiences. And we could possibly also invite them again for a different episode. But we'll still continue to do that. So, and it's also a chance for us, the hosts, me and Abhinav and the others, to share our own experiences. We don't get to do that with our sessions.
Correct. And I think that sums it up. Now the next question. What do you prefer, debates or MUNs?
I don't know, bro. Which one do you prefer?
I prefer MUNs because, like, MUNs, like, they're a bit more of a... Like, they have more people involved. Like, so so many different interactions you can have. And, like, it's like a bigger scale with countries rather than, like just one guy talking about one topic with another guy, like debating on one single topic. And MUNs can have 10 different topics going on. So it's like so much effort you have to put in, and there's so much reward at the end. So I just find like MUNs are fun, basically, compared to debates, in my opinion.
They are.
I haven't done many debates.
They are fun. The MUNs are fun. And so, as you said, it's diversified. So there's no one specific topic. I prefer debates because I do it more, not because it's better, in my opinion. Yes, the point you said about it having one topic, which makes it more challenging. Debates are more challenging and are harder to win sometimes, especially that there is no, like, in MUNs, there are many possibilities for you, like, in the or at the end of the MUNs, but in debates, it's winning or losing, nothing else besides. You win and go up to the next level to meet a different team, or you just simply don't. That's it. Also, the mechanism of standing out. I think in MUNs, we have more than one title. There's the best delegate, and there's also what?
Yeah, there are multiple awards you can get, like first, second, third. But in debates, it's either win or lose.
Different titles, as you said. So there's the best delegate, and there's the best speaker, I think. Or maybe there's... I'm not really, like...
There are a few awards, like first, second, third, fourth.
Yes, things like that. But in debates, it's often just one award. The best speaker and that's it. But I still prefer debates. He prefers MUNs and I prefer debates because that's what I'm more experienced in. When it comes to judgment, I don't know if you have any experience with judgments, but when it comes to judgments, debates are low-key better. From the point of view of a judge, it's better to judge MUNs. I'm sorry, debate compared to MUNs, because it's obvious. It's either that team wins or the other one. And you can tell exactly what the team is missing, what are the mistakes they have made. And it's much easier to judge debates.
Yeah. And MUNs, like, the atmosphere is just a bit more casual because there's, like, so many people who, like, who just come for the vibes, not to like present or anything. So like even the judges sometimes they're just like they use whatever words they want, they say whatever, they do whatever, they bring in new rules and all that. So like they have a bit more excitement because you know, like you don't know how it's gonna progress forward because there's so many factors at play.
Exactly, but what about preparation? Preparation for MUNs is like so overwhelming, I think. So much stuff to be done, so many.
Yeah. The thing with me is like I won one MUN once, and then like for the next three MUNs, I was just like completely overconfident. So I just studied the last, I just prepared at the last moment and went to them, and then I got completely demolished. But like, so like that's the thing. You can never be too confident with MUNs because like the amount of research you need to do is never less.
Exactly. When it comes to debate, sometimes you just walk into the debate and speak with common sense. I don't think this, I like to call it my holy trinity in debates. There's facts, stats, and common sense. I don't think this applies on MUNs.
Yeah, it doesn't.
It does, but not as much.
Because the confidence also plays a role.
The dominance here is for those who research more.
Yeah.
While in debates, you can still trick the other team with your common sense skills and with your persuasion skills sometimes. Or maybe playing with some techniques, some specific rules, some specific tricks you can do here to win and there. In MUNs, it's a bit, as I said, it's so diversified, it requires a lot of research. And yep. But both of them are beneficial for you and both of them are interesting.
100%. Now this next question, like it's from me. How do I prepare for a debate where I'm in a like I'm at the I have to support a side I'm against, like as a person? How do I be at my best with them, with those situations?
First of all, if you're experienced with debates or MUNs, you already are used to this kind of situation, and this is what separates you from those people who are not experienced with debates. If you just bring somebody who's not experienced with debates at all, is not that kind of person that likes to argue too much or debate with other people, even in casual life, you tell them what do you believe in? I believe in this and that. Okay, now I want you to debate against this person, against your own point of view. They're gonna like you, the first thing you need. I want you to do is look at their face expression. Like it's gonna be so stressed. They're overthinking about it. It's quite difficult. But you as a debater, you already have that skill of dealing with this. Now you're saying, how do I prepare? It's very simple. Just go and research. You have to convince yourself that if you want to win, you're gonna have to speak about it. Now, during debates, you should set aside everything that has to do with your personal life, personal beliefs, religion, all of those things. Keep them aside. Political, keep it aside. Focus on the topic, focus on the debate, and focus on the winning. You can't. Sometimes it's hard to just like adjust. Especially like the atmosphere and the atmosphere during the debate. Sometimes you just slip away and speak about something you're not supposed to be doing, or express your personal thoughts, which could be against your position. It happens sometimes, but you need to convince yourself that what you're fighting for or what you're debating for is right. That's the first step. Convince yourself, because the mindset is a very important factor, and it's the most important one, in fact.
That's a helpful response. Now, with that, let's move to the next question. What opportunities can one get from participating in debates and MUNs?
You can answer that.
Okay, like I think from debates and MUNs, like the main thing you get, like the main opportunity is like to meet people. It's like meet people from like different places and all that. So like the person you meet in a debate and MUN might be like a very big person, like a personality in social media, or like somebody who has a startup like or a voluntary thing like that you align with. So like by meeting these people, like you can get support, like you can get support from them at some point in the future.
Yeah, and it could be a platform for you. I'd like to start with debates, and once you go, as you say it, you can then do something else that you actually love. And aside from that, we have mentioned previously that you could major in something that has to do with debates. A part of the curriculum for those people who major in political science and law, you have to debate. So it's a part of the curriculum. It's a studies. You have to debate. You have to show the professor, whoever it is, that's judging, that you are capable of this skill. So it's a very important skill in both majors. And other than that, you get to learn negotiation skills, persuasion skills, public speaking. We have spoken about this a lot. So from those skills that you earn, opportunities start show up for you, and then the doors start to open, more doors start open up for you. So it's not something you're going to regret at all. A lot of opportunities, a lot of skills you can learn, but it's up to you to put those skills to use. Nobody's going to walk up to you and offer you a job just because you are a good debater. You have won a debate or something. Then, oh, okay, I want you in my company. No, that's never going to happen. You're going to have to use those skills. You're going to have to put them to use.
Yeah, precisely. Like you won't get opportunities immediately, but like the skills you get from debating, they will come into effect in the future, basically.
Exactly. Also, besides the attention that you get and those other things, you know.
Yeah. And another question, what are some other activities like we could do to improve our performance and skills in our debates on events?
Other activities and I don't think I get the question, but I think they mean like other things that could help you improve the skills that you need to win debates and MUNs. To increase your knowledge first. Your knowledge is very important. Even though sometimes research is important, but you can't always rely on research because you often tend to forget, especially if you don't prepare many papers in front of you while debating or MUN. Using your own, being so cultured can really help you sometimes. You start generating arguments while doing the speech or while being there at the debate. It's very important to get cultured, read books, watch movies, maybe watch documentaries, keep up with what's really going on in the world, because sometimes you could come up with an argument from the internet, but what's really happening today, it's different from the article that you have read. Maybe you have read an article that is old or something. So if you keep up with what's going on right now, that's very important. Keep up with the news, read articles daily. It's gonna just simply increase your knowledge.
Yeah, and they should also listen to our podcast. I'm sure that'll help them a lot.
Joining activities, watching video sessions, the sessions that we have, listening to our podcast. Help. A lot of other activities that you could do to improve the skill. Socializing with people as well.
Yeah, because in MUNs, like the thing that sells you the most is your confidence. Like even if your points aren't much, if you have the ability to command others, like to become the block leader, that'll definitely set you apart. Because no matter how much research you do, if you can't present it, then it's not worth it, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. And next question. What is the best comedy to start out with in MUNs? So do you want to answer that
Go ahead.
or? Okay, I think like if you want to understand, like if you want to experience like a chaos, like just absolute everything going everywhere all at once and all that, I think go with the crisis committee because it'll show you like how like you know like how much research is required, like how much of your chances of winning rely on others more than you. Or if you want like a more standard committee, just do something like UNSD or UNGA. Because that'll definitely like show you like what like how it goes down in like real committees like in the UNGA, UN like in the UNSC and all that.
I'm not really that experienced with MUNs, but I think the best one would be the one suitable for you. Is that like a choice for you? Could you tell me more about it?
I
The
mean, I
process of
think
picking.
yeah, like in MUNs, like the MUNs I've been to, like you usually put randomly into the blocks, like what were the committees. But like some of them offer you a choice. So like they give you like the ask for first preference, second preference, and third preference, like in the teen debater MUN, they ask for preferences. So like more than anything, like pick the agenda, I think, more than the committee, because all these committees have topics that are different. Like the UNSC could talk about let's say terrorism or something. And you might be a bit knowledgeable in the topic because who knows. And then or like the UNGA could be talking about something related to like the US tariff systems. So like go after like what you know rather than like what the committee is, because most of them are usually just the same thing with a different premise.
So in general, you join the one that you can contribute to the most.
Yeah, basically.
Okay, I think that answers the question. And is there any more questions, Abhinav?
I have one question from another question from my side. What's your okay, well, like? Yeah. What's your most memorable debating experience?
What's my most memorable experience in debates?
While debating, yeah.
While debating. To be honest, there are some debates where just conflicts happen. During my personal debates, I haven't personally been like in a situation where I had to go back and forth with the people arguing. As I've seen some crazy stuff happen, like people screaming and stuff during debates. During my personal debates, none of that happened, but I had to see people do that. But personally, I think the craziest one that has happened where, you know, there's people sometimes who like to show off, who like to sometimes like tell people, okay, I'm confident, but they're not. Like at the end of their speech, they come up with a line, a poem, where they say something or another, or like a quote from a book or something. Well, there's this one guy who decided to come up with a quote to like try to offend me or something. I don't know how he came up with it from, but I just somehow happened to know the real quote that he came up with, the accurate specific one that he came up with. Okay, and he came up with the quote and he said it in a specific way, and I noticed that it was wrong. So when my chance came to give the speech, at the end of my speech I said, okay, and to correct the quote that you came up with, because what you came up with is wrong, the correct quote is this, this, this. It was very embarrassing for him, because I mean, if you want to come up with something, make sure that it's correct in the first place. Don't just come up with a quote or a line from a book or something that is not accurate. But he modified it in a specific way to offend me, like to offend me and my team or something. But I somehow happened to know the actual one because I also read the same book. And yep, that was a good moment. There are some many memorable moments, but I think we'll keep that to another episode. I think we're done here today.
Yeah.
We had so much All fun right. answering your questions, and we also might do something similar in the future. We're going to give you guys the opportunity to ask questions, and we'll be more than welcome or more than willing to answer the questions. Thank you guys for this opportunity, and we are looking forward to hear from you soon. Thank you very much. Make sure to follow our socials, Instagram, WhatsApp, join our group chats in WhatsApp, join us on Discord, and watch our videos on YouTube. We keep uploading every day, daily, all the time. Thank you, and all the best.